Chapter 4.
It took the Chimera nearly 5 days at its 0.4 cruising speed to cover the 350 light-years between Merkur and Wayland. But that was all right, because it took the engineers nearly that long to come up with the portable frame that would both support and nourish the Isla Mari.
"I'm still not convinced this is really necessary,"
Pelion grumbled, eyeing with distaste the thick curved pipe and the fur-scaled salamander-like creature attached to it. The pipe and its attached frame were blasted heavy, and the creature itself didn't smell all that good.
"If this guardian you're expecting was put on Wayland by the Emperor in the first place, then I don't see why we should have any problems with him."
"Call it a precaution, Captain,"
Thrawn said, settling into the shuttle's co-pilot seat and fastening his own straps.
"It's conceivable we could have trouble convincing him of who we are, or even that we still serve the Empire."
He sent a casual glance across the displays and nodded to the pilot.
"Go."
There was a muffled clank, and with a slight jolt, the shuttle dropped from the Chimera's docking bay and started its descent toward the planet's surface.
"We might have had an easier time convincing him with a squad of stormtroopers along,"
Pelion muttered, watching the repeater display beside his seat.
"We might have also irritated him," Thrawn pointed out. "A dark Jedi's pride and sensibilities are not to be taken lightly, Captain. Besides," he looked over his shoulder, "that's what Rook is for. Any close associate of the Emperor ought to be familiar with the glorious role the Nogri have played over the years."
Pelion glanced at the silent nightmare figure seated across the aisle.
"You seem certain, sir, that the Guardian will be a dark Jedi."
"Who else would the Emperor have chosen to protect his personal storehouse?"
Thrawn countered.
"A legion of stormtroopers, perhaps, equipped with AT-ATs and the kind of advanced weaponry and technology you could detect from orbit with your eyes closed."
Pelion grimaced. That, at least, was something they wouldn't have to worry about. The Chimera's scanners had picked up nothing beyond bow and arrow stage anywhere on Wayland's surface. It wasn't all that much comfort.
"I'm just wondering whether the Emperor might have pulled him off Wayland to help against the rebellion."
Thrawn shrugged.
"We'll know soon enough."
The gentle roar of atmospheric friction against the shuttle's hull was growing louder now, and on Pelion's repeater display, details of the planet's surface were becoming visible. Much of the area directly beneath them appeared to be forest, spotted here and there with large grassy plains. Ahead, occasionally visible through the haze of clouds, a single mountain rose above the landscape.
"Is that Mount Tantus?"
he asked the pilot.
"Yes, sir," the other confirmed. "The city ought to be visible soon."
"Right."
Reaching surreptitiously to his right thigh, Pelion adjusted his blaster in its holster. Thrawn could be as confident as he liked, both in the Isla Mari and in his own logic. For his part, Pelion still wished they had more firepower.